This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning. So, the APC in Rivers State appealed certain judgments and got certain judgments in their favor. Regardless, there's still questions as to whether or not we have more cases facing the APC in Rivers State and how perhaps the party is going about those cases. Well, we'll get to find out more of that in details during the conversation I'm about to have this morning. Also, remember that the presidential candidate of the APC was at the Chatham House last week, and it formed a lot of comments on social media, especially with people who weren't pleased with the fact that he had to delegate some of his aides to answer certain questions from different sectors of the country. Not many were happy with that. People felt like if you're going for an exam, the ideal thing to do would be you write the exam and not come in with somebody else to answer the questions for you. Well, anyways, I'll be having with me on the show this morning, Sogbaya Eli. He is the Rivers APC Governorship Campaign Council spokesperson. So he will be giving us updates on the situation with the APC and the court cases the party has been facing and the recent victories that they've had, as well as what perhaps he thinks of the party's position with the performance of its presidential candidate at the Chatham House last week. Don't forget, you too can be a part of the conversation. Get on Facebook now. I mean now, at Nigeria Info PH, Facebook, and on Twitter as well, at Nigeria Info PH. We have a question up there for you. If you did not see the session where the presidential candidate was speaking at the Chatham House and what transpired, videos are all everywhere online, so you can go look it up. But the question we're asking, if you have seen the video, is perhaps are you pleased with the performance of the APC presidential candidate Bola Tinubu at the Chatham House in the US? What's your view of it? What do you think? Let us find out exactly. And that would be... So I get over to my guest via telephone to speak with us, and he would be clarifying for us the situation with the APC and the court cases it faces at the moment. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning. You're welcome, Mr. Eli.
Good morning, Andrew.
Yes.
Me.
Thank you very much. So quickly, talk to us. We know that at the moment the your party has had a few events, cases in court that went its way. But many still say it's not yet hurrah. Can you give us updates? How many more cases is the party looking at? What is the current situation with the candidates of the party?
Can I come back with a question? What is
this? We've had several court cases. Some of them saying you wouldn't be on the ballot, nullifying the participation of your candidates in the election. You have appealed some of the judgments and you've got judgments in your favor for some of those cases. But then we are wondering whether or not there are more cases that the APC in Rivers State still has to contend with ahead of the election.
Okay, sir. Let me make a clarification.
Okay.
We do not have a judgment in appeal court yet.
Okay.
The judgment you reference is the judgment of the Federal High Court. But two cases have been heard and judgment has been reserved. I think that we're going to have a judgment this week. I'm going to confirm the date of when I get the hearing notice later this morning.
Okay.
We're confirming the date of that judgment and this particular case. But I don't know, appeal has been heard on the case of Judge Billy and others disqualifying all our candidates, as well as for the ones who are in the LDP now, and then the one also on the disqualifying of our national and state assembly candidates. Both judges have been reserved and they'll be delivered shortly. I'm sure one this week. That's on the strength of that. And as for those who think that we may not be on the ballot, the question will be, how does our being in the ballot affect them? Isn't it our democratic rights as a political party, as Nigerians, to field candidates for elections and allow the neighbors electorate to determine our fate? is it not the constitutional duty of the electorate to vote? Do the courts vote for candidates? And also, it just shows the trajectory of poor reasoning. Very poor baseline reasoning.
Mm.
In a democracy, the fundamental issue is freedom of choice. Now, when you force the fait accompli on the electorate where they have no choice to make, you get to look for a dictatorship, which is what we have in the city today. You can trace it directly to what happened in 2015, where people shut away the power. The freedom of people was not expressed. And in 2019, the major political party, APC, was on the ballot. So, again, they had a situation where what went wrong, had to go wrong. So they have a full-blown dictatorship. So going forward, if we must extricate this state from the stranglehold of one strong man, then we must have to have the opportunity to exercise that choice, freely and without less and incumbent. So those who think we may not be on the ballot,
yeah,
are on the wrong side of history, because neither the law nor the facts support their case. And the expectations be cautious. We are going to be on the ballot. We are going to compete for every office of the candidate, from the presidential to the governorship, national assembly to state assembly, and we would win. So that's the will of God and the best choice of our people.
Okay. Clarify for us. What judgment should, or is the party waiting for at the moment? Because you were mentioning, we've had several judgments in your favor that we've had on the news in recent times. I think, to be specific, two of them. But then there are still several, especially the one that questioned the citizenship of your candidate as well. So, when or what is the party looking at, or how or when are we expecting to hear? Are there more cases that should be looked at, that the party is having at the moment in court that needs to be addressed for people to have better clarity and not confuse the judgments that have come already? One of them was the Justice Turaki Mohammed, Federal High Court, that struck out the PDP suit challenging the eligibility of candidates of National Assembly. That's one of them, amongst others. So what's the difference between these judgments and the ones that we're expecting to, that the party's expecting a date for?
Clearly, there are basically three issues here. Number one, there's a judgment by the Federal High Court, decided by the Lord, the Honorable Justice Emmanuel Obile, which disqualified all our candidates on the grounds of the suit filed by Judge Olu, members of the SDP, now against the party, challenging our nominations on the grounds of exclusion, alleged exclusion from the ad hoc delegates' congresses. That is one judgment I would expect. That appeal has been taken, arguments taken, and judgment reserved. And I told you earlier today, or earlier this morning, I should confirm which of the judgments is due, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, all right.
The other appeal has been taken is one, has had to do with another decision of the Federal Court, which qualified some of our House Assembly candidates, 16. Another 32 seats.
Mm.
So now that judgment came qualifying half of that number and clearing half. That two appeal as they had judgment reserved. The one for Toyo Code eligibility on grounds of dual citizenship. Judgment has been delivered at the High Court, appeal has not been taken yet. Okay. So that's why we have the same issues.
And
so what we saw happen before Justice Turaki Mohammed last week, if you recall, there have been a lot of fumbling of the matters against the SDP, against which of the last for the National Alliance and then our court. With respect to the court declaring jurisdiction, because the Court of Appeal had already ruled on the issue of interpreting the section of the Constitution where one political party cannot sue another political party, I mean, eligibility of a candidate.
Mm.
So to that extent, that for every matter that was used on that, you could also say it doesn't matter now. Okay? Every matter that was used filed against that, and now the slipper of seat that was used on another party questioning our eligibility has collapsed once again. And the fact. So especially what about before is just a new case and I will not preempt the court, but the rules of precedence are quite clear that those who are hinged those cases, they can't have a case to hinge on. Because the Superior Court have already ruled on those subjects, interpreted these laws respecting what a party can do with its internal affairs and what the section of the Constitution dealing with the citizenship should begin. Concerning those already for governor under the same constitution.
But then, I don't know if you've heard your reaction, I'd like to know. The reasons given by the PDP, I mean, speaking on behalf of the party, the governor of Rivers State, was stating why the PDP decided to take some other political parties and its candidates to court. What's your reaction to the reasons he gave?
Absolutely funny. Those reasons are not tenable. It's honest to the eyes of that with respect to the purpose of the governor. The governor is a lawyer by profession and has all the tools to understand what the law says. I said applied his chief. The law is quite unambiguous, both in its written form and the judicial interpretation. Already on ground as president. It is forum shopping, it is ambulance chasing, it is busybody, and that's why the court is taking out of them. Especially some of the judgments missing such cases. They are bloody waste of time of the court, and judicial time cannot be wasted on frivolity. If the law says you don't have a locus, so you take an action, then you are bloody methods of a developer. They are not based on something to waste judicial time. The courts are not congested, too congested even, in all the decisions in Nigeria, and it's absurd that anybody could contemplate going to mount more pressure on the courts in cases that go to the issue.
Mm.
But I tell you, it's a strategy, it's a medieval strategy, only maybe 11th century strategy, to distract attention of the other parties. So why we should be on the street campaigning and telling the people what we have to offer. Somebody's busy with our time in court. But at the end of the day, you are unlikely to cover the entire 23 LGs as sufficiently as you should. This is the tragedy of that open. Otherwise, I have absolutely nothing to be there.
I was also going to ask you that question next. You've talked about the cases that you're waiting for judgment at the appeal level, and you've also talked about some of the cases pending. Now, how that impacts your campaigns, because many would say the APC in this state hasn't really kicked off. Not many has heard, not seen the momentum that people would expect, and you're not hearing too much from that corner. Can you clarify for us, is the party taking a different approach? What really is happening, or is it as a result of the cases you have in court influencing the speed or the progress of the campaigns?
Well, speaking as the campaign council spokesman, I'll simply say it's a case of two sides of the coin. I cannot speak for the party, but as the public secretary of the party, but the party has formed the campaign council where I operate. On that platform, on that pedestal, I should say, yes, the flurry of judicial issues before us, and it caused some kind of slowdown in our speed, which is what the open and intended achieve anyway. So that's the other one, yes, that's for us. On the other hand, it also, let us have time to sit back and strategize and re-strategize. As I said, it's the 218. So when we hit the ground running, we are going to hit the right points for the lecturers. Bear in mind that we have little time left. So for those who are concerned about our mob ruling, program very fast enough, you have to understand the situation. Remember, people want a robust political environment where they will hear the electorate speak to them, they hear the party speak to them, rather, and make informed choices about who to trust with their votes.
Okay.
So it's a soft thing, it's a possible, but we're going to deal with it.
All right, Mr. Eli, we'll have to pause you there. We'd have to interrupt you because we have a short commercial coming up. When we return, we'll hear more from you on this. And you also tell us the performance of your presidential candidate at the Chatham House in the UK just last week. When we return after the commercial, stay on the line, please.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say, hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
And we are live on Facebook and Twitter, so you can be a part of the conversation. Join us, simple, at Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and at Nigeria Info PH on Twitter. Okay, Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. That's all. And you have access to watch us from anywhere you are in the world and also make your contributions. You can send WhatsApp messages to 0809-030-6416. Again, 0809-030-6416. You heard from my guest, the spokesperson of the APC Governorship Campaign Council in Rivers State, Sagbaye Eli, talked about how the court cases could be affecting the pace of the campaigns of the party here in the state, and also what he thinks about the River State Governor's position on taking other parties to court. And he also highlighted or gave us information as to the judgments that are at the appeal level and some of the judgments that are still being attended to in court, which the party is waiting for. A date would be coming, and perhaps when that comes out for judgment, he would let us know about it. In the meantime, I'll take just a few of your messages on Facebook before we continue. Don't forget, you too can let us know what you think. We're asking you a very simple question. The presidential candidate of the APC was at the Chatham House in the UK, and while he was there to speak, for those who do not know, Chatham House is basically some sort of ideologist or idealist, if there's a word, where people put together, bring out ideas. And as a leader who wants to, take charge of the country, hopefully if he wins, that is, he went to the Chatham House to meet with Nigerians in diaspora and also meet other intellectuals and share his thoughts and answer questions and let people know what his plans are and how he seeks to address the problems facing the country. Well, his outing was one that many looked up to, and expectations, I'm sure, were met depending on the position you were standing in. But one thing that really came up was the fact that the presidential candidate of the APC turned himself into another moderator and assigned some members of his entourage to respond to questions that he was asked by the moderator of the interview. He assigned Governor Nasir El-Rufai to speak on how his government would address insecurity. He asked the Director of Strategic Communication of the APC Presidential Campaign Council, Dele Aleke, to respond to questions on oil theft. He also delegated the Commissioner for Finance in Lagos to respond to a question on how he would boost the economy if elected. So many other people were there. I can go through all of them. Femi Gbajabiamila was there, Cross River State Governor, Professor Ben Ayade, former Ekiti State Governor, etc., etc. I'll go over to my guest now and let's hear from him quickly. Mr. Eli, what's your view on the approach that was taken by your presidential candidate when he appeared at the Chatham House last week?
Nigerian talking about the approach African countries applying at Chatham House, when it was obvious from the beginning why had Madam himself at the center. It was meant for a presentation, and went down to a full resume of supporters who are going to play a role in the night gap if and when the decision was elected on February 5, 2023. So, for those who are concerned about the delegation of answers of questions raised on the floor, I'm not saying anything sadly happened. I'm not saying anything awkward happened. If you really express coverage of that event, you know that those who are wasting their time, the people of Bola, Ahmed Tinubu, and Siwaju, delegating those questions are only touching at the surface of what was going to exist. He has been this time, he spoke, and then there was time of questions, and he kind of put his team to the guy there to show that he's coming ready and willing to go. In talking about Buhari, I think the approach is an issue. When Buhari, President Obama, fired a candidate from the Chatham House in 2015, he did not allow, or he didn't get any of his guys on the central right to speak. But as long as they have gone there to change strategy and want to deal with that. If there are issues that arose from this staff approach, from the staff of dealing with the questions of this, and that will concern issues with that family from them. Otherwise, I don't see anything wrong with that approach.
Basically, there are two questions I'd want to ask about this. The second one will be an illustration, but the first one is this. Some of the people who were with him and who he delegated to respond to some of these questions, who then shared their ideas and gave their answers, are already members of the APC, and under this current administration, they've been there for a couple of years. And if they had the answers, how come they've not been able to tackle the problems adequately? If you think they have, you should also let us know, of course. But Nigerians feel like the problems have not been adequately tackled by these same individuals who were on that trip with the presidential candidate of your party.
The system of government works on the basis of directions. Okay? If for instance, somebody's in charge of portfolio of health, and if even a function or a director is executing the tax, it will limit himself to that direction, and no more. So the question as to whether somebody already worries coming, and what after we get their party, they cannot present in terms of that brief. I don't know how to defend that because of the law of British constitution. If they are not giving into stocks, all of that this, and suddenly, why there are certain publications and ideas to people, don't forget that what I've seen people is the personal candidate of the APC for 2023. And so, on the Spanish platform, is not one of the first person that spent the moment in charge. So, the questions that came were further, they came directly to assess Ahmed Tinubu's readiness. It wasn't about the referendum of Buhari. It wasn't. Okay. So we'll judge those answers on the basis of questions that came, and not necessarily on the fact that they are British of the Buhari system. Okay? The questions are not about the Buhari administration.
Now, the question, apparently it's not, but the point is, if these people have these ideas and they are in the government from your party, which is in leadership at the center, there are states, in fact, for instance, El Rufai in Kaduna State, we're aware of the fact that the level of insecurity that has ravaged parts of Kaduna State for a while now, and he was there addressing questions on insecurity on behalf of your presidential candidate. I mean, anybody would raise an eyebrow and ask questions. If he knows this much, then what's happening in his state? So, is this also something that we look at? My second question, is it just your presidential candidate giving us an idea of how he intends to run the country if he eventually emerges president come 2023?
I think the second aspect is right of how he intends on his government. Coming 2023, all right? I think that should be the right perspective to teach. As to whether or not that is valid for people to manage security as a government of the United States, that should be the basis of sense, because we cannot take platform and the left and federal government are not thinking. The states have a limit on how much you can fight security. And that brings us back to the questions of those that are working for state police and the centralizing of federal power to the states so they can handle some of these issues, somehow also going as far as talking about local government police. So, again, it goes back to the same fundamental constitutional issues that we have been unable to deal with as a country. But by and large, you wouldn't want to affect the governor on the grounds of handling security in the states, where the challenges vary from state to state. You agree with me that you cannot really hold LFI accountable for the security lapse in Kansas State. Particularly so, it means that virtually every institution of state power, talking about the military, institutions for training the military, NDA, and one of the
factors. So, do we then hold the federal government responsible for that?
By the federal government. And those institutions are not commanded by the government of Kansas State.
That's what I'm saying. So should we then hold the president accountable for that, owing to the fact that...
Of course, when it comes to security issues, you hold the president accountable.
So if that's the case...
The life is that he wasn't accountable for the commander-in-chief. Okay? So he has the box on the desk. But beyond that, there are some responsibilities at the level of the state, some intelligence gathering, and that's why the state, any state that's responsible enough, because ultimately it's about your people. That's why governors provide logistic support for such operations in their respective states. Okay?
Okay, Mr. We don't have a lot of time. So we don't have a lot of time, although we try to understand what you're saying. But from the last point you raised, I'd just like you to react to this before we let you go. If you're saying that the president should be held accountable because he's in charge of all the apparatus, security apparatus in the country. Yes, of course. My question now.
Is the commander of all the security apparatus.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, if that's the case and your presidential candidate intends to be president, the idea would be that he should be the one addressing these questions and bringing out these solutions, because if he eventually becomes president, people will be looking to him as, at the time if he becomes, commander-in-chief. And you cannot then be saying we would need to hear from the governors or whoever. Isn't that supposed to be the idea? Isn't that what that meeting at the Chatham House is supposed to be? To hear your candidate speak as though he is the president and what he would do?
Okay, let me just make it simple for you. Security is not on the concurrent list in that constitution. Other issues, for instance, they ask other questions and other people answer. For instance, on health or something. Let's say the state's National Women Leaders Party spoke on that. On finance, while they was Committee on Finance, not the Liberals' Governorship of Lagos, spoke on that. Those are issues that are on the concurrent list. So, let's deal with issues. I'm not going to be going to a trap of equivocation. I've told you it is within the rights of the Liberals to devolve what strategy was applied. And the approach you use at Chatham House, although novel, makes sense. The business person is angry. Nobody is angry about the approach you took. Nobody has said, on account of that, he failed in the outing. Nobody has said so. So let's deal with the critical issues. When is commander-in-chief? He's going to sit alone in the office of commander-in-chief. He has a great box stops on his presence. He has a security council in this country, the constitution, where he appoints Chief of Army Staff, Naval Staff, Army Staff, Mr. General Police, General DSS, all those fellows come on the board. right? And they have asked the delegate to some people at some point, all that to come into play. So when they say the president is the commander in chief and therefore he's not far away, they're going to take responsibility for security, it does not also mean or it's going to say that nobody else has a role to play. The president cannot be cannot be omnipresent. So it was power, even though they inherit him, are delegatable and also delegated.
Okay.
So if I try to outsource this question, if you like, to others, like try to answer, you are not in any form or manner related to teaching or appeal to sustainability. That's my view, and I think it's absolutely fair to him to think that he should be judged by such approach as a Imprepared or incompetent or whatever. I don't think so.
All right, then thank you very much, Eli. Our time will not permit us to go any further with the conversation. Well, thank you for making our time to be with us on the show this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right, quickly, let's open the phone lines and let's hear from you. Well, you've heard the position of the APC Governorship Campaign Council spokesperson in Rivers State and what he thinks about the approach of the APC presidential candidate while he was at the Chatham House in the UK last week. So, what's your own position on it and what do you think about his approach? Let's find out. 0700923-0923. You also heard his position on the various court cases currently facing the APC in Rivers State, how it's affecting the campaigns and what they hope to get before elections. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Good morning, if you hear me, Andrew.
You're welcome.
Yeah, my name is Comrade Latham Barry Sunday, the president, the time and tone for Rivers
right.
Southeast.
Go on.
Calling from Bori.
Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, let me react to the several litigations being faced by APC. I want to say that that situation you are seeing, if I may put it that, maybe it's because of ignorance, or I may say it is because they were claiming to be the government in power and they feel that nothing regarding to court cases can hamper them in terms of this situation. And, you know, the Amechi guy was too, with the way it was too autocratic that he didn't want to listen to anybody, and people decided to take it to the court. You know, court is a place where the little man can be able to exercise his anger. So, and a lot of people went to court to seek redress of several issues affecting.
All right, if you can just try and make your point as quickly as possible, we don't have all the time in the world.
Okay, let me go to Tinubu. The reason why Tinubu referred most of the questions to those who were with him is that I want to say that if you don't know somebody, don't come out to say you're supporting that candidate or that fellow. The reason why Tinubu was able to channel some of these issues to his men was because they know him too well. Just like I always campaign or maybe talk on behalf of Senator Magnus Abbey. I know Senator Magnus Abbey that is very fair when it comes to quality he has. So if you ask me much about Magnus Abbey, I can be able to tell you.
So they spoke on behalf of Tinubu because they know him.
Pardon?
They spoke on his behalf because they know him. That's what you're implying.
Yes, the legend.
All right, thank you very much. We'll have to move on to another caller now. Good morning, Nigeria Info. Please.
Good morning, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Calling you from other girls.
All right, what's your name?
Mark.
Okay, go on. In one minute, please.
I want to talk about the court issue about the APC.
They
should bring themselves together and coordinate themselves well. Because if I speak, we need a new government. And if I look, just only APC can fight PDP for now in that state. I don't look SDP or other party because me are from Omega. So I want them to bring themselves together to forget about court. They should not take themselves to court and stay together, be united together, so that they can work together for better tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much.
About the Tinubu in if Tinubu has a question, I should throw the question to Elrufai, throw the question to someone, to Ayabi. I look it, it's a wrong idea to me. If Tinubu want to tell Nigeria that now, if I'm a president, Elrufai is my chief of staff, or the commissioner of finance in Lagos, the minister of finance now, they should tell us that he's already choosing cabinet from now, so that we can know what, who and who we are going to work with. That is my own decision. They should tell Nigeria, this is my cabinet for now.
Okay. All right. Thank
I'm going
you.
To work with, if I'm a president today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. On Facebook Live, Agogo Agocha says, okay, Kintley, there is no judgment in the case of Cross River State. He's only a citizen by naturalization and not by birth. Therefore, there is no case if they are to be sincere. Ibn Abo Sunday says, Wanebu M. Kingsley, our constitution allows for dual citizenship. Tony has the right to contest for governor by birth. This person says, I wish Tony Cole succeeds, but I don't see him surviving the dual citizenship case against him. Well, let's wait for what the court has to say. Ibn Abo says, so that is not a case. The governor for sure has dual citizenship like Tony Cole. Another one is either Cross River or Akwa Ibom. Governorship candidate of APC has also dual citizenship. It was taken to court but was cleared to run for governor of that state. Those comments there are from Facebook Live. Let's see what we have on WhatsApp. This one says, I have just one question to ask your guest. These ideas shared by RFI, Ade and the rest are their ideas, and sampling these potential ministers and appointees. I have only but one question. What happens if the National Assembly refuses to approve the appointments when the time comes? What happens then? Well, we don't know if these people are the ones that are even going to work with him, so we cannot just make the conclusion like that. Don't you agree? Let's wait. If he wins, then we can now be having this conversation with our full chest, like many people would say. Joseph Agboye says, as for if, please, Tinubu is simply showing us that cabals will run his government if he wins. He just wants to be called Mr. President, and that's all. He's got nothing to offer. All right, thank you very much, but this is where we draw the curtain. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. Remember, you can also watch and listen again online at NigeriaInfoPH and drop your reactions at NigeriaInfoPH on Facebook and on Twitter. Hello, Port Harcourt is next. Jude is standing by to have a lovely morning.